The sermon subject this morning is flexibility.
Amen, amen, amen.
Not whether we are willing. I am assuming that all believers are willing.
All right.
If a believer is not willing, I have a little problem with his profession of faith. We should be willing, and so therefore he is able to do that. Amen. That brings me joy. Flexibility. Flexibility. Bendability, saint. The capacity to view things from another perspective other than yours with the objective to get something done. Flexibility in the Christian sense is not being pigeonholed. Do you know what I mean by that? Pigeonhole means when you don't move from one particular vein, you remain there. You're not flexible. You're not bendable. And when you're not like that, church, I'd like to add this: you cannot be dependable. God wants people to work in the harvest fields that are not rigid. Now listen, have you ever seen a rigid athlete? If you've seen a rigid athlete, he's not going to win very many contests. An athlete must be flexible. He must bend and stretch and strain in order to become all in that particular field the best at that. Have you ever seen an unbending Christian? Oh, yes. There are unbending Christians in Olivet this morning. There are rigid Christians in every fellowship where God's people dwell. All right. Flexibility is the name of the game here. If you want to win somebody to Christ, you're going to have to become flexible.
All right.
Now listen, when I say that, I don't mean that you become a compromiser.
No.
You don't compromise the faith. I don't mean that you become a waverer. You don't waver off of the beaten path. I'm not saying that you become a turncoat to the faith and start to embrace all these new worldly doctrines, quote unquote, that calls themselves Christianity. No, when I say that you must become flexible, you must view it from a perspective other than your own and view it with the intent to reach somebody for Jesus Christ. Ladies, when you go home this week, your neighbors, your friends are going to come by. People that are unchurched, people that hate the Lord, people that would rather get a bottle of whiskey and get drunk on Monday morning, and God wants you to go to them and preach Jesus to them. You've got to become flexible. You've got to stop saying, come to church on Sunday. You've got to be willing to do something on Monday. You've got to be willing to exercise faith on Tuesday. You've got to be willing on Wednesday to be turned against, to be shunned. You've got to be willing on Thursday, church, to put your Christian life on the line. You've got to be willing on Friday to really become flexible when the world wants you to party and do all of that. You've got to be rigid in Christ, but yet flexible enough to understand why they ask you to attend. That's what flexibility is all about. And when Saturday night comes and you're preparing for worship on Sunday, when you are praying for your pastor, for your church, for your ministries, for the sinners in your families, for the sinners all around you, you can say, Lord, I have been flexible all week. Sometimes we come to church and we want to be flexible on Sunday. We want to get up and lead in devotion. We want to sing in the choir. We want to run three circles around the circumference of the whole building. And then we say, oh, didn't I exercise for Christ? And you are stiff, and you are immovable, and you are just a creature of unchange in the household of faith. And God wants you to exercise some flexibility here. Listen, no, we don't become wavers against the faith. Rather, a Christian with strong moral principles that doesn't have a heart that refuses to leave his particular view of things. Now that's the third time that I've said that. What do I mean? I mean by that this. Gladys, if you want to be effective in evangelism and you have lunch with someone, or you speak with someone, Gladys Monroe, and I'm just using her as an example. She has got to look at that individual where they live and see where their need is, and ask the Holy Spirit to work in her to meet that given need. And they might not ever come to church with you. They may not ever darken a church door. You are the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Christ has called us out of a sinful world, but yet he left us in the world, Sister Evans. You know that. He's left you in the world for a reason. Now, when you get out there in the world of sinners and you're so rigid, I'm saved, I'm sanctified. I am just so filled with the Spirit, and you're nothing but a dirty sinner, and unless you repent, you're going to hell. And then you turn away and walk away from that individual instead of the individual. You haven't even given the poor fellow a chance to say, how? How? What is this all about you're talking about? How do I have Christ's life affected in me? Christian, you'll never reach them unless you're flexible. When you look at the text, you see Paul the Apostle here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I want to emphasize verses 20 through 23 in this message this morning. But we see Paul the Apostle as its author. We see Paul, a great apostle, a great speaker, a great teacher, a great preacher. We see a brilliant mind, and we also see a writer of an epistle. As a matter of fact, this man wrote more epistles in the New Testament than any other apostle. Some might even question the way they did in his era, his apostleship. God mightily used him, and God, Sister Stanley, only used him because he allowed himself to be flexible. He did not allow himself to remain rigid, unconcerned, and just saved and concerned about his own heart. What did Paul do? He became the challenger of the Christian critics of his day. Are you that challenger today? Will you allow the Lord to put you in the seat of challenge? Will you allow people to challenge you when they say, where did you go Friday night? I went to a football game, and while I was looking at the game, halftime came, I was witnessing Jesus at a football game. I'm telling you, you can do that if you're flexible. But if you're rigid and if you just get lost in the crowd and the whole hum of our society, Christ cannot use you. I want you to use some flexibility here. Listen, Paul was flexible, but his flexibility was not a quirk of his mind. I don't want anybody to leave here and said, all right, Pastor John, I'm going to be flexible today, but tomorrow, well. No, it can't be a quirk of the mind. It was also not a new type of New Age ministry that Paul was getting involved in. Flexibility is that part of the Christian experience that all of us should be endeavoring to live every day of our lives. His flexibility was attributed to one thing, the need around him. Erica, pay attention to me. There's a need at your school. Delia, there's a great need at Uni High. You've got to be flexible. You've got to be flexible enough when the kids are having hamburgers and talking about the latest rock group that sings satanic music, you've got to be flexible enough to say, I've heard it, and it doesn't sound very good to me. Now, listen. No, I don't allow anybody listening to rock music in my home. No. Sometimes in my car, when I'm in my car with my daughters, I turn that station on. See, now I'm being flexible. I says, I want you to hear what the world is saying. Mm-hmm. I want you to know what the devil is saying to sinners. If you don't know what the devil is saying to sinners today, by God, how can you reach the unregenerate man? But I dare say if I go to your house and that's all I hear coming out the speakers is worldly music, all I see is worldly magazines all around in your house, all I see is the world's attitude coming in there, I have problems with that. But you had better pay attention to what's going on around you. You had better pay attention. And once you pay attention, God wants to use you and make you flexible and so that you can win these people. Listen to what I'm saying. Our complex society compels us to be prayerful and to prayerfully engage all of our innate given abilities to get the job done. You've got to look within you and say, God, what is it going to take for me to get the job done? How flexible am I? Again, I say, do not compromise Christianity. John, do I become as flexible like I'm a Christian? Do I go to a bar to witness to everybody at the bar? I dare say not. But you know some people that frequently visit bars, meet them on neutral territory, and then be flexible. Well, John, I know some homosexuals. Does that mean that I should go around the places that they hang out? I say not. But if you know someone that is homosexual or lesbian, put yourself in a neutral position where God can use you to tell them that the lifestyle will take them to hell. Amen. You know some liars. Do you hang around where all liars go and join in the revelry of a lie with them? I dare say not. But when you meet them on a neutral position, you can tell them that the Bible says that all liars will have their part that burns in the lake of fire and brimstone. You're flexible because you must be aware of what's going on around you and deal with it in a very practical sense. The question is the theme of this entire text. And the question is basically coming just in a few questions. And the first one is this: what will it take today, not tomorrow, not next week? What will it take today, not on your part, Brother Jones? What will it take today on my part to win men and women to Christ? That's how you break out of that rigid. Lord, what is it going to take today on my part to win somebody to the kingdom? Not what is Pastor John going to do. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And I pray to God that you are going to do what you're supposed to do. Don't look and say, let's leave it for the young. They have so much energy. How many of you senior citizens ever have an opportunity, those of you that the Lord has blessed to get around, to go visit a senior citizen's home? You have people in those senior citizens' home that know more about Christ as a jackrabbit does. They have grown old in sin. God wants you to be so flexible because they have become your peers. Now, what can you do to become flexible enough to win somebody for Christ? Or can you say, Lord, I'm thankful I can get around. I have the use of my limbs and a sound mind. There are some senior citizens that are waiting on you right now, today, tomorrow, this week, to go out there and become flexible and say, the Lord loves you too. Amen. How about you teenagers? Let's not leave you out. Are you flexible enough in school? Are you too concerned about the lesson plan? Are you so concerned about the activities of the school instead of the activities of your Christ? How about you young, single Christians with nothing but time? Does that sound, what? I don't have all that time. You have enough. How about you uncommitted Christians that just have yourself to deal with? How flexible are you? What are you doing to win men and women to Christ? Let's answer the question. One way that we can answer this question, well, what are we doing, John? Very simple. Just proclaim the gospel. You might be saying, yeah, well, hey, you know, that's a pretty good statement. John, just preach. Just preach, John. That's all you have to do. Jesus did it. Just proclaim the gospel and it's going to be done. Listen, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2a, it says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. That's what some of you might say. John, that's what it's going to take. The preaching of the word of God. Is that enough? Is that enough? I dare say no, it's not enough. Listen, you have to look at Jesus. And let's take a look at Jesus and see how flexible he was. In John chapter 2, there was a wedding in Cana, in Galilee. Amen. Jesus went to that wedding. It was the first miracle that he ever performed in the world while he was inside of that body. There was a wedding in Cana. Jesus went to that wedding. Jesus ministered to those people in life, and he also provided some substance for them to enjoy the wedding. He turned the water into grape juice. All right. He turned the water into grape juice. Yeah. He did not, and I put emphasis on this, he did not turn the water into an alcoholic beverage and give that to those people to get drunk. No. If he did that, he could not be my Lord. Because if he did that, therefore I, as a believer, can get drunk anytime I want to and go to John chapter 2 and say, well, Jesus did it. He blessed it, so I can do it. I don't know where Jesus ever put his blessings on alcoholism, ever. He never did that. But look how flexible our Lord was. He went to a wedding. They had run out of the fruit of the vine. And he provided. How many of you are flexible enough to do like Jesus? Oh, it's one thing to preach, but it's another thing to go somewhere and dig in your pocket and to provide a blessing for others. Jesus showed his flexibility. Take a good look at Jesus. Walking by a sycamore tree, there was a man up that tree named Zacchaeus. And you can find that in Luke 19 and 8. There was a man in that tree called Zacchaeus, a tax collector, a sinner. One who was an outcast in the Jewish society. Jesus got to the tree and looked up and said, come down, little man. And he was little in stature, not in heart. And if you read all of that in Luke 19, you will see that he was very large in heart. He said, come down, I have to go to your house today. When he went to the man's house, his critics were there. His critics says, Jesus is nothing but a wine bibber and a gluttonous man. He is eating with a sinner. Jesus was flexible enough to see the need of Zacchaeus, not just to preach to him, but go to his house and have a dinner with him. How many of you are that flexible? How many of you are? Well, I know what they are, honey. Yes, God knows exactly what you are. Amen. Nothing in his service. Let's take a good look at Jesus. Allowing a sinful woman in one's house named Simon to come to him. And you know, Jesus went off as a rabbi, you know. And you know, a rabbi was not supposed to have a woman. And listen, Sister Blake, the kind of woman this woman was a scroungy woman, a street walking woman, a hustling woman. This woman came to Jesus' feet. You hear me? Cry, washed his feet with tears. Jesus was flexible enough, not just to preach, but he allowed her to touch him. How many of you rigid Christians? How many of you women are so holy? Oh, I'm so holy. I'm so clean. I won't let them come near me. That dirty old child, look at her walking the streets. Ah, yes. If Jesus was here working in your life, he would say, yes, I see her. But I can't see her through you. Amen. Because you have put a block in the way. Amen. You are looking at her through your eyes. Yeah. Try to view her through my perspective. Amen. Grace saved. Jesus was flexible. He allowed the woman to touch him. Will you allow sinners to touch you? You can see that in Luke 7, 40 and 41. And also in John chapter 4, my Lord was sitting on a well, and another kind of woman with a whole bunch of husbands came to him, and Jesus had the audacity, listen, to get flexible, to ask her for a drink of water. How many of you would see a street-walking woman and ask her for something to eat out of her hand? No, I'm holy. Yes, you sure are. You're full of holes. That's all you are. You are not holy. You are not flexible enough in God's service. That's how you're going to win people to Jesus Christ. Speaking, Jesus always spoke of that personal, private relationship with people. He spoke to the woman at the well and he says, yeah, you're not married now and the man that you have isn't your husband and the ones that you had before wasn't your husband. You see how close Jesus got? Don't just say church, come to church. Don't just say join the church. Don't just say partake of the Lord's table. You've got to get personal with people. It's more than just the preaching of the gospel. You've got to face direct issues in witnessing. Look at Jesus. He preached all right. But he addressed issues by informing people, thereby, since he informed them, that transformed them. How many of you do that? You've got to tell a man or woman straight to his face, I love you in the Lord. I will pray for you. I will do everything that I can, but you have something to do. You've got to accept this. And if not, I'm sorry, friend of mine. Hell is your destination. Now that person is going to shake in their heart. You have moved them through the power of the Holy Spirit. I challenge you to become flexible in that way. You have to just take a little look away from yourself to see something. You have to see that without any great pain, there's not going to be any great gain for the soul. You've got to look away from yourself. Look what Paul says in verse 20. Paul addresses the issue. He says, and unto the Jews, I became as a Jew. Now, this is beautiful here, and I'm not going to keep you long, but I've got to address this. He said, listen, to those that were hooked in Judaism and religiosity, I was able to discuss their religion with them. I didn't just say, you're wrong, I don't want to discuss it, repent, I'll go to hell. No, you've got to be able to discuss it.
Amen.
Somebody comes to you and wants to discuss Catholicism, Mormonism, Jehovah Witnessism, you better do some discussing if they want to discuss it. And how dare you, if you don't know enough, don't blame the church. We teach you in defense here every Tuesday night. We give you something to discuss with them. But if you don't come to get the meat of the substance of the word, every time you go against a cult leader, you're going to tell me, Pastor John, the Lord's not leading me there. He leads you if you come here and get equipped. He wants you equipped and so you can evangelize. Now, the pastor is going to evangelize, and I'm going to discuss it with him. But I'm going to say, with no great pain, there's not going to be any great gain. Paul said to the Jew, I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. He said, to them that are under the law, I even got down. Now, listen, you know what it tells me in the Bible? It tells me that Paul carried with him some Gentile Christians. One man named Timothy. Timothy's mother was a Jew, and his daddy was a Greek. Paul wanted to take Timothy in the temple with him. Paul had to become real flexible because he said to Timothy, look here, young man, we've got to circumcise you. Now, he also said in the scripture, circumcision or non-circumcision availeth nothing but circumcision of the heart. Why didn't Paul say to Timothy, oh boy, you ain't got to be circumcised, forget it, doesn't mean anything. He was flexible enough to know that in order to get the job done, there might have to be some pain afflicted.
Amen.
Timothy had to respond and say, if it's okay with you, it's okay with me. Are you that flexible? No. Most of us won't go another mile. We are so locked in ourselves, locked in our Christianity, and then you wonder why the Lord is not adding anybody to the body. He says at the end of verse 20, that I might gain them which are under the law. He knew that the law meant nothing. There was another time when Paul had to take a vow in the temple, and he shaved all of his head off. As a matter of fact, when he went back to Jerusalem, the brother says, now look, some of these Christian believers here think that you're against the Jewish brothers, and why don't you take this vow that's coming up to show them. Paul didn't say, hey, I'm an apostle. I know more than all of you. I write more than all of you. I don't have to do that. What did he do? He said, cut off all my hair. Let me go through the fast. Let me go through the tradition of the elders. I'll go through it. He was flexible enough to win. And that's all he was saying in this verse. Paul was telling us that we must walk alongside of men in order to understand them. You've got to walk alongside a man to feel what he needs, or you will never be able to, through the Holy Spirit, meet his need. You've got to put yourself in their position. Look at 21a. To them that are without the law, as without the law. You know what Paul said? Paul says, I even put myself in the position of a man that didn't even know anything about the Bible. I said, you've got to walk next to them, you've got to speak with them, and you've got to be able to reach them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's only done when you're flexible. We must, listen to this, that we must look at the matter or view the matter from their vantage point and not ours. Now, that's hard. That's hard, Christian, because I'm going to tell you, at this church especially, once you learn the Bible, you know what some of us do? We have the tendency to look at the situation from Pastor John's. You better stop that. You had better look at the situation from whose vantage point? God's. From God's vantage point. Well, Pastor, I'm not as zealous as you. Do you have any zeal? Well, what is zeal, Pastor John? Do you have any life? Yes, I have life. Where is this life leading you? I come to church. Do you want God to work through you? Tell the truth. This is what you would say. That frightens me. That's the way most Christians are. They are too frightened to let God work through them. They are depending upon the preacher to do it all. Oh, God, yes, I wish that I were 15 men. I wish that I were 15 men. I wish that I could go with each of you where you go. But I'm telling you, you have that in-resident power, and his name is Jesus. and he is willing to go where you go if you allow yourself to be flexible. Amen. That we must try to see the matter from the sinner's vantage point. Look at 22a. It says, to the weak became I as weak. Now you notice this term as. Paul was not weak. Paul was not a Jew. Paul was not a legalist, but he became as. Paul is saying, I became flexible enough to understand the weak man. How many of you strong Christians see a Christian brother or sister in the church that really slipped and fall? I mean, really. I've never done that. I've never thought that. I have never fallen. Well, you know what? That old poor brother is falling right then. He's falling right then because he is not flexible enough to understand his brother or his sister. I'm telling you that you have got to see the matter from the sinner's eyes. From the fallen saints' eyes. Instead of saying, why did you do it? You know it's wrong. Number one, they know why they did it. And number two, they knew it was wrong when they did it. Flexibility is this. Brother, first of all, let's pray. And let's ask God to forgive us. Now, you notice I say forgive us. Not brother, you pray and ask God to forgive you. Because see, what you're doing unconsciously is you're taking all calls off of you. You were so tough, you said, well, I'm going to teach you now. See, brother, let's pray that God might forgive us. Then that brother or that sister will actualize that you too have fallen from grace. Amen. From one time or another. Every believer in this room has. Every believer in this room has fallen from grace at one time or another in his life. Either losing your temper, saying something you had no business saying, wheeling and dealing, doing some things you know you didn't have any business doing, speaking and being with the person you know you didn't have any business being with. We have all fallen from grace.
Yeah, amen.
But by grace are we saved. Stop falling in a continuous mode. Christians don't continue to fall. Sometimes they get on their knees and say, Lord, give me strength to waddle a little bit. I've got to get up and I've got to walk and I've got to go in a particular direction. So stop looking for the opportunity to fall. Look for the opportunity to become flexible enough to walk. How can we relieve one of his difficulties unless we understand them? You can't. Look at verse 22b. It says right here that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I may by all means save some. I'm saying again, you are not going to be able to save anybody or get them saved through the Lord Jesus Christ unless you understand their difficulties. Unless you understand where they are. Too many of us are not flexible enough. Too many of us are rigid. I know the word, John. I know what the word teaches about this. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Oh, we can quote it. We can quote it. We can quote it. Let brotherly love continue. We can quote it. We can quote it. I dare you to show it. I dare you to show outstanding brotherly love even to a man or a woman that's not even a brother in Christ. Serious. That's serious flexibility. Can a sinner come to you? Will a sinner be able to come to you tonight, call you on the phone and say, listen, I don't want any material substance from you. What I need is some advice. But I've got to tell you something about me because I need help from the Lord. Now, there's two ways for you to help that unregenerate person. There's a flexible way and there's a rigid way. First, let's deal with the rigid way. First time that sinner starts telling you something about his life that's real, and it's bad, it's grody, it's nasty, it's disgusting, the first thing you think about is getting on the phone after you hang up to call another saint and tell him, you're rigid. God can't use you. He can't use you at all. Or when that person is confiding in you some very personal, deep things, and the Lord's going to send them to you because you can handle it. He's not going to send you anything that you can't handle. The Lord's no dummy. He knows what you can handle.
Yeah.
Then, amen. But see, some of us think that the Lord is stupid. Oh, the Lord would never send that. See? He's going to send a person to you. You see, you did the kind of sin they did.
Yeah.
I know you understand.
Because
y'all did it. Amen. You all were guilty of it.
Amen.
That's the one he's going to send to you.
Amen.
He's going to send that person to you that you can deal with. And you were going to say, oh, no, Lord, come on. I came to... Yes, you can.
Yeah.
The question is, will you be flexible enough to deal with that situation? Listen, you're not going to relieve the difficulty unless you understand them. We cannot let habit nor practice inhibit us from going where the Holy Spirit is leading us. Look at verse 23. But let me say that again. You can't let habit... Well, we've never done that, Pastor John. We've never heard a sermon where you're telling me to be flexible. What do you mean by that, really? How flexible do you want me to become? Flexible enough that God can use you? Flexible enough that you're going to make waves out of no waves? Flexible enough that you're going to tell somebody something that's going to shock them into thinking about Jesus for the first time in their life? Flexible enough so that when that person leaves your presence, they will say to the next person they come in contact with, I heard something about Jesus like I have never heard before. That preacher told me what he used to do. And that's exactly what I used to do. And he understands it. And I want to come back and talk with that man some more about that thing. Flexibility.
Yeah.
Then you become like Jesus. Listen to me. You cannot remain indifferent while accommodating the need. How can you remain indifferent to someone's true spiritual need and then say at the same time that you're accommodating? I'll come to church. I'll go through the motions. I know my Bible. I have tenure, Pastor John. I don't have to listen to that. You can see my flexibility. All my children come to Christ. Is that right? Are your children witnessing? No, they're just like you, sitting on a bump on the log. Right here in the church. I'm telling you, you're going to have to meet the need. We must ask ourselves, what is our Christian aim? What's your aim? My aim is to be just like Paul said. Lord, I want to become as anything that I might win somebody.
Yes.
Amen. See, I had some very serious sinful problems in my life. Now, I don't know about you.
Amen.
I never had no problems, man. See, I have some very serious problems, sinful problems, okay? Guess, and I'm repeating this because this way it's going to be in your life, and I'm not just trying to, I'm trying to make you aware of this.
Amen.
When God sends them to you, don't become frightened. Deal with it.
Amen.
God is saying, I call you to be a witness. Now, witness.
Yeah.
You have it. Witness. Use the opportunity that I'm giving you. I'm asking you to do that. You've got to ask yourself, what is the aim? Anyone can attempt to throw out a disgruntled church member. Any preacher can throw out a disgruntled church member. Any preacher can say, well, you no good, you get out of here. But will that preacher become flexible enough to listen? Will that preacher become flexible enough to love like Jesus? Will that preacher become flexible enough to say yes? I'm wrong. You're right. I want to tell you, say, that this flexibility just doesn't apply to you. It applies to me. I can't preach it unless I'm flexible too. This sermon has to eat me up like it's eating you up. I'm telling you. Are you going to seek to help him? Or are you going to seek to use the power of your office as an officer in the church to whip him down? That's not flexibility. That's not even dependability. That's not even responsibility. But that is showing you that you're going to have to fall into some accountability one of these days. Cut out that kind of behavior. Anyone can grow impatient with a slow-paced Christian, with a mentally sluggish believer, with the spiritually warped church member. Oh, I'm impatient with them now. I'm at my last straw. Have you ever heard him say that in the church? I'm not bending, I'm not turning anymore. I have had it with them. I've had, as a matter of fact, up to here. Why do they always say this?
Up to here.
Up to here. I guess if they drink some Kool-Aid, the Kool-Aid goes up to here, right? Well, listen, some of them say, I've had it up to here with them. I've had it up to here with them. Now, that's really bad. Because, see, that means that your heart is about ready to stop. When you've had it this high, brother, your heart's about ready to go out. Because, see, that means that when that brother or that sister comes in your presence, hey, brother, the adrenaline is flowing, your heart is beating, your eyes are turning all red, and you can't stand up right, you're ready to faint because all you want to do is choke him out. When you come to that point, you're not flexible. I'm telling you, are you impatient with the slow pace, with the mentally sluggish, with the spiritually warped? I'd better not be as a pastor. I had better exercise more patience than all of you. John, it's happening again. And I says, and the Lord is still loving. And the Lord is still in control. And the Lord is waiting on you to make up your mind to love him. Pastor,
Call me at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Pastor, I got to talk with you. I should answer that phone and say, good morning, what can I do for you? Mm-hmm. I should never get on that phone and say, what is it?
Yeah.
Some of us are like that.
Yeah.
Some of us are like that.
Yeah.
Some of you officers.
Yeah.
This pastor make, hey, listen, I've already told some of the officers, children, I'm going to tell you. Let's say that a young single lady calls me 2 o'clock in the morning, a member of this church crying.
Yeah.
Says, Pastor, I've got to see you, it's very important.
Yeah.
I am calling a male officer or another man in this church to meet me at that saint's house.
Yeah.
So when I call you, brother, and say, meet me on the other end of town at 2:30 at that sister's house. She needs counseling because I will not go alone. I don't expect you to say, man, I got to get up and go to work. You will meet me there. You will become flexible. Now, this is for talk's sake. I saw the preacher go in the house and come out, Brother Frost, at 5 o'clock in the morning. His tie was all open. His coat was all over his shoulder. And I just know what went on in there. But this pastor is responsible. I will come out with my tie on and the deacon or the brother right next to me, and I'll say, God bless you, sister. We will continue to pray for you. Amen. You know that. But when you're inflexible and when I call you and say, Brother Jones, it's your night, I don't want no excuses. No. I don't want any excuses. I will be there. I will be there. That's what spiritual maturity is about. That's what spiritual maturity is all about. Man, I got to get up and go to work. So did this pastor. This pastor works. I got to get up and go too. And you are going with me if you're spiritual. And if I pick up an attitude in your voice, brother, I'll say, forget it. Go right on back to sleep. Then I'm going to call the next one on my list. And I'm not going to tell you the next one. And if I pick it up in your voice, I say, go on back to sleep, good brother. Go back to sleep. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit will give me one good sheep. One good sheep. That's flexibility, church. See, that just doesn't lie with me. Oh, yes, anybody can grow impatient. Anybody can do that. The minister exists to save the weak. That's why I exist. The lay Christian exists to help save the weak. That is exactly why you exist. What a great model and a great method that Christ and Paul gave us to follow him. Let me hurry up and end this up as I finish. Second and lastly, what about the sinner? John, you've been talking about Christians exercising this flexibility. What about the non-Christian? And that's very important. Because a non-Christian, you too are to become flexible. Sinner, listen to me. If you are rigid, Christ will never come in. If you are constrained and closed to the truth, if you hear the truth preached from this pulpit, which you always will when you come here, because we don't know anything else to preach. See, we're crazy Christians here. We're kind of crazy.
Amen.
We don't know anything else to preach but truth.
That's right.
I wouldn't know how to preach a lie.
Amen.
I mean, I couldn't even make up a good one. You'd know I was very uncomfortable.
Amen.
I mean, I'm standing here and I said, well, you know, Paul said he was, but you know, I can't even make up a good funny behind the, you know, the pulpit when it, no, truth. So therefore, that truth convicts the non-Christian in a lifestyle. Sinner, what are you? Sinner, you have to be flexible too. God has caused Christians to be flexible enough to say to you sinners today, oh yes, I do understand. I understand your plight, sinner man, sinner woman. I understand your excuses. I understand also that Christ can become the source of your comfort.
Yeah.
See, the sinner saying, well, do I have to be flexible? Yeah, you got to be flexible enough to listen and believe. Saints, you've got to be flexible enough to preach it, to proclaim it, to get out of your pigeonhole effect. You just stay in one spot. I've been this kind of Christian 36 years, and I'm not going to move. And God is just sending people by you all the time, and you're letting them go right by you. But sinner, you've got to do something too. What about it? What about it? Secondly, I'll say to the sinner, okay, I'll buy that. I'll buy that this stuff has been in you half of your life, and it's made you what you are today. I'll buy that, but what about God? Can God do anything? Will you, sir, allow the Lord to break in? Will you, sinner, for the first time in your life, says, I've often wondered what that table means over there. grape juice, and broken bread. Sinner, this morning, you can become flexible enough to say where you said, Lord Jesus, come in my life. I don't care what they do around me, come in my life. I want to know that I'm going to heaven with you, and whatever you want me to be, I am willing now to take you, and I believe that you can clean me up. See, now that's some flexibility there. Because all that rigid saying, no, I won't move, no, I won't turn, no, I will not deny myself, all that stuff is dying. As you said, right there where you are right now, sinner, you can affect some change, and the Holy Spirit can come in and rearrange everything in your life. So, okay, sinner, I'll buy that. It's been rough. It was rough for me, too. Mm-hmm. It was rough for me, too. I know how it is. I know. Those of you that are just swept up into the lust of this age, not just physical lust, material lust, intellectual lust, all of you that are swept up in that, I'm telling you that the Lord Jesus Christ knows it, and he can relieve you of it. I told you earlier that I got up asking for forgiveness. I got up this morning, Lewis, and the devil's trying to put mess in my mind. I'm getting up. My feet had not hit the floor. And when I was conscious, something came into my mind. I said, no, Lord. No. What is this? I'm telling you that you've got to fight you. You've got to fight evil every day of your life. But then after I had gotten up and I went in the bathroom to brush my teeth, I leaned over the sink and I said, Lord Jesus, you have the victory in my life. Yeah. I said no because I said yes to you. Yeah. And the thought patterns ceased. Yeah. See what happens? He's alive and he can affect that sinner in your life. Sinner, I say to you that results are now the things that count, and that excuses are of no value when it comes to rationalization. Now look, Acts 17:30 says this, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There was a time when God said, oh yes, all right, I understand. But then Christ came into the world and died on Calvary, that even the sinner would be without excuse. And how dare you, Christian, have an excuse why you can't be flexible? Mm-hmm. I didn't talk about this, Lewis, but you know, some of us are real flexible around black Christians. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We love to be around our own people, you know?
Yeah.
See? God will show you a white Christian or a Latino Christian, and you really get strange then. You know?
Uh-huh.
You know how they are, man. Yes, Jesus knows how that heart is too. You're not saved.
Amen.
Because when Christ saves you, you love everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody's equal. Everybody's equal. I mean, you know, you don't walk out there. I mean, you can't help but to see our people. We're lovely, we're dark, we're you know, we got such nice hair, we look good and all that. But you know, when you get up there and you see someone that's a little paler than you, straighter hair, blue eyes, all of that, God is good. God has allowed that to take place. Can you love it? The wonders of his love, the wonders of his grace all around you. And then you're going to look at his creation and say, I don't like them because they got blonde hair. Well, you can bleach yours. Go ahead.
Amen.
Make yours blonde.
Amen.
You look pretty weird with yellow hair,
yes,
as dark as you are, but go ahead. You can have that too. I don't care. And I just look at you and say, you sure do look different, honey. You look different. Maybe I'd be a little indifferent. I hope I wouldn't say that. God has given the sinner the ability to bend too.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He has given the sinner the ability to bend. What did I have? I said I had Isaiah here, a scripture in Isaiah. And this scripture speaks about this bendability that God gives the sinner. And I want you sinners to listen to this. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. That's some bendability there. See, you got to seek. Well, you haven't been seeking him, sinner. Call upon him while he is near. Sinner, you've got to call on him. That's flexibility. You've got to say, Lord, help me. Whereas before you were saying, I help myself. I don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to say, Lord, I seek you. Instead of seeking pleasure, lust, self, and sin. Verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake. That forsake is showing some flexibility there. You've got to turn away from that junk. Let the wicked person forsake his way. That's showing a great amount of flexibility, because when you forsake your way, you say, my way is no way. My way is taking me to hell. My way is that opposes God's way. And then as he forsakes his way and the unrighteous man, his thoughts, that's flexibility, sinner. You've got to stop thinking like that. You've got to let God take your mind and transform the way you think about the situation and let him return, that's flexibility, unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. That's what you have to do, sinner. That's what you have to do. You have to seek, call, forsake, return. Amen. And all of that is being flexible. As I end up, I want to say that Paul and his ministry was of great value because he allowed the Holy Spirit to make him flexible. Same Lord wants to cause us as believers to become just as flexible. No, I didn't go into every verse and break it down because the preaching of the gospel is not that necessarily all the time. I want you to see the essence of this part of the message. Paul was willing to become many things that he might gain many. That's what it's all about. Look at verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Amen. He says, I'm not doing this to try to become big shot. I'm doing this for the sake of the preach word, for the sake of ministry. Now, I want those of you that are Christians to think about your flexibility, whether you are, whether you are not, and to start exercising, bend a little bit. I know God is going to send somebody to you this week. I know it because he does it every week. He's going to put you right in contact with them. And I challenge you to witness to them. Sinner, your chance is now. For you have an opportunity to say right where you sit, right where you live, Lord in heaven, I want to be flexible enough to say yes to Jesus and come to Jesus as Lord and Savior for the first time in your life. What I'm asking you to do is, let me rephrase this, but yet say the same thing that I say every week. What I'm asking you to do is this. Consider whether you're flexible enough to get into heaven right now. Consider that. Can you squeeze into heaven right now? Will you be able to slide in through how you live right now? If judgment came, would God say to you, come ye blessed?
Oh, no.
Secondly, I want you to say, if the answer is no, ask yourself this question. Well, then what must I do? Pastor John has already told you, become flexible enough to say, Lord, I need you. By you saying, I need you, Lord, and just bowing your head right where you are right now and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I love you. I want to walk with you the rest of my life. He will come in. He will empower you. You at that moment are saved. Now what he's going to do is he is going to bless you, he's going to fill you, and he's going to impress upon you the importance, if you join this fellowship, to read your Bible, pray every day of your life, and look in this Bible to find some wrong about you and say, Lord, clean me up.